Now, the Lord has gifted me in the ability with the written language. I can write really well, and that's not an issue. But the spoken language, very difficult for me. I don't know if you've noticed in the past 6 months. Maybe you don't think so, but I'm a very quiet person. You got to draw stuff out of me, you know. But this is what happened in the speech class. I would get up there. I would write an excellent speech, but then I would get up there. I couldn't even read what I said because this is what was happening with my paper. So I pretty much failed every speech because I couldn't get it out. But the Lord blessed me in the end. My final exam, I did get an A on. I was able to study that paper and get the words out. But so this is definitely out of my comfort zone. But when the Lord directs, He also provides and provides a way. And so the only way that this paper is not shaking to the point where I can't read it is because I believe that this is the will, is His will for us as women in this church. I was going to bring something to share just to kind of you know, God's word says to be like little children, and so I was given some letters from children to God, and you know, we're just supposed to pour out our hearts to Him, and He hears us, and He answers. And so these, I'm only going to read a few of these, but you know, children just pour out their heart, and they expect God to answer, and we should be able to pour out our hearts and expect God to answer. So, here's one from Jennifer. It says, "Dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy?" "Dear God," this is from Elliot, "I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying." Is that your heart? Do you think about God even when you're not praying? When it's not a prayer meeting, when it's not church, when you're not here at a ladies' study, do you think about Him? Do you just love Him so much that He's on your mind? I know throughout my day, I think about Fred. He's at work, or he's been in Webster, or wherever he is. I think about him because I love him. Is that your thought towards God? Do you think about Him even though it's not an organized thing? Well, Elliot thinks about Him even when he's not praying. That should be our heart as well. This one made me laugh because I think it's my kid's heart. This is from Ginny. It says, "Dear God, could you please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter? There's nothing good there now." So, and then you think about winter, it seems like it's very long and dragged out. Of course, this winter has been beautiful, and I really am thankful for that. I think it's been God's hand on Fred, allowing him to get back and forth. Yeah. Yeah, it's been incredible. So, and then here's a really honest one. And we can come to a God and be honest with our hearts. And if we're having trouble with something, we can bring it to Him and ask Him for help, and He'll help us. So here's Denise, and she really is honest here. She says, "Dear God, that's not the one that I wanted." But she, of course, is thinking about reincarnation, which is not going to happen. But anyways, it says, "Dear God, if we come back as something, please don't let me come back as Jennifer because I hate her." So, but she's pouring her heart out to God. She has an issue. She knows there's this little girl that she has trouble with. And so, Lord, help me with this little girl, you know. So, but anyways, we can come to Him. We can pour out our hearts, and He will help us. And we can be honest with Him, and He'll guide and direct. And so, I've been praying since we came down here back in August. Lord, what would you have us to do? What would your plan for this church to be, especially where the women are concerned? And He's been very faithful to pour out a plan and to bring us to this day for the very start of this women's ministry. And first I want to start out and pray and ask him to guide and direct it and to bless it. So, Father, we put this women's ministry before you, Lord, and we ask that you would guide, you would direct, you would bless, Lord. You would encourage the women of this church, Lord. You would build them up, Lord, that we would be women that are sold out for you, Lord, in love with you, guided and directed by you, Lord, in love with you, and who would do your will, Lord. We love you and we give you this time now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I really felt today that the Lord wanted me to share with you what I feel his intent for this ministry is. And on the Daily Bread, I don't know if how many of you saw this on March 15th. At the very bottom, you know, they have these dark print, and it says, "The more you read the Bible, the more you'll love its author." And it's so true. The more you get to know somebody, the more in love you're going to become with them. And that is what I believe God's intent for this women's ministry is that we would get into his word so that we could fall more madly in love with him. And I'm praying that for each one of you, and even for those who can't be here today, that as we look deeper and deeper into his word, that we would fall more and more in love with Jesus and more in love with his word. And if you would look at John 1:1, we will see that they're actually one and the same. Because if you start at John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So, as you look specifically at verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we know that God and Jesus are one, and so Jesus is the Word. So if we say we love Jesus, we're going to love his Word. We're going to want to spend time in it because we want to know the ones that we love more intimately. And so I believe that one of the intents of God is for us to fall in love with his Word if we're not already. And if we are already, that he wants us to fall more in love with his Word. And so there are many benefits to his Word, and this is one of them, is that we're going to know Jesus because we know his Word, and we're going to fall more deeply in love with him. But specifically in John 1:4, the first benefit I see of knowing his Word is that the light shines in the darkness. Jesus is going to put his finger on sin in our life. He's going to illuminate it and show things to us that he doesn't want in our lives and that he wants to remove. And so that's the benefit of being in his word. And that's what I think is part of what he wants to do with women ministry in this church. And so he wants to put his finger on sin and illuminate it for us. You know, as I was praying and I was saying, "Lord, what would you want this women's ministry to look like? What would you want it to be?" He started revealing a vision for me, and he gave me Romans 10:17. And it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's the second benefit of being in his word. Our faith is going to be increased because we're going to be hearing his word. And hearing isn't just, "Oh, I hear some clamoring in my ear, blah, 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 blah." You know, I think you were saying something about hearing this morning, and that you were saying, "Jesus is coming back, but I don't think the person heard me when I said that." God wants us to hear. We're intently listening to His Word. He wants us to hear what His Word says. And if we intently are listening to what His Word says, our faith is going to be increased because we're going to see Jesus come to life in His Word in our lives, and it can't help but bolster our faith. So the second benefit of being in His Word is that our faith would increase. We'll be built up in Christ. So great to be in His Word. And then I continue to pray, okay, Lord, so You want to increase our faith. You want to illuminate sin in our lives. Now what? Show me more about what You want to do with the women in this church. And He said, well, I've got a name for the women's ministry. And it's going to be Women of the Word. Because He wants us, He wants His Word just ingrained in our lives. That it would be something we look at throughout the day. Not necessarily sitting there constantly because we'd be shirking all of our other responsibilities. But that His Word would be in our minds, on our hearts. You know, post it in your house. I make little index cards and I stick them up different places, on a mirror, by my kitchen sink, by my telephone. There was one, I used to get really annoyed by telemarketers, and so I put by my phone, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh answer can break bones. And so I used to get really harsh with them on the phone because they would really annoy me. But I would have that sitting right by my phone so that I when I answered my phone, I would remember that a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, but God's Word, it builds us up. It guides us. It directs us. So He said the name is going to be Women of the Word. I know that when Pastor Bob was first announcing it, he was like, Women of the Word. And I think he was thinking, is that a book you're doing or what? But it's just women's ministry in general, whether it's a luncheon that we do, whether it's a breakfast, whether it's a Bible study, no matter what it is, the heading of it is Women of the Word, because we want to be building one another up in our faith, encouraging one another. I know Fred and I were talking with Jessica and Mark this weekend, and they were saying how things used to be when you were over in the storefront, and how that time used to be just, you would love one another, you would encourage one another, you would walk away edified, built up. And that's what I want women's ministry to be here. I want it to be something that encourages one another, and I believe the Lord does too, where we can build one another up. There's going to be no tearing down of anybody, and that it's going to be based on the Word. You're having an issue? This is what God's Word says about that, and we can be excited about it. And so I believe that's what He wants to do. When He gave that title, we need to want it, and we need to be in it. And I think about my best friend lives in Pennsylvania. We used to be 5 minutes apart, and the Lord took them down there. But I'll tell you, I love and cherish the time that we get to spend together. When she calls me, I pick up the phone, and as soon as she says, "Hi, Karen," I know her voice. If she writes me a letter, I know her handwriting. I'm sure you guys all have somebody like that in your life. I know my husband's as well, you know. But as far as a girlfriend, this is, I just know her, you know. I've come over the years because we love spending time together. We love talking. I know her likes. I know her dislikes. It's the same thing for the Lord. When we spend time with Him and we really know Him, we're going to know His voice. I've heard many people say, I don't know what God's voice sounds like. How do you know the voice of God? You know it because you spend time with Him. You spend time in His Word, and so when He speaks to you, you know without a shadow of a doubt He's speaking to you. Sometimes you want confirmation, and He's going to give you confirmation. He'll give you verses. He'll have a sister or a brother in the Lord come up to you and say something, and you know. And sometimes you have your Gideon moments. I've certainly had them where I say, Lord, I'm putting a fleece out because I'm not sure that I've heard You correctly on this, or I'm not sure what to do in this. So You put something out there, and let me tell you, girls, He is faithful to do it. I want to say it was about 7 years ago. I was having some soreness, and I was praying, Lord, what could this be? And, you know, the Lord just kind of reassured me, nothing. You know, let it go. It's nothing. Well, a few months went by. The soreness left. And I wasn't thinking anything more about that issue. I thought it was done with. And I had a dream one night. And the Lord can speak to you in dreams. And everything. I had this dream, and somebody came up to me and said, you know, what's going on with that issue you were having? And I said, oh, nothing. You know, it's taken care of. And I said, are you sure? Let's see if there's something there. And so we did an exam. And this is all going on in the dream. And we found a lump in this dream. And immediately, I woke up out of my sleep and was like, Lord, I thought that was taken care of. You told me not to worry about that. And in his way, he said, well, go ahead and do an exam. So I did a self-exam. And in the very spot in the dream that we found that lump, there was a lump. And in exams before that, when I was having the pain, there wasn't anything there. So now this lump is here, and I'm thinking, okay, am I just making this up? Am I not making this up? And I needed to put my fleece out there, and I said, Lord, I was having some other issues, some stomach issues and stuff going on as well, and I had a doctor's appointment set up in a few days about my thyroid. And I said, Lord, if I'm supposed to talk to the doctor about this instead of the thyroid when I go, will you have somebody at church? And I got very specific with the Lord, and we can be very specific with him. And I said, Lord, and this was a part of my fear as well, I said, Lord, if I need to have this checked out by the doctor, would you have somebody come up to me at church and ask me how my health is? And that was pretty specific, because how many people in a greeting will come up to you and say, so how's your health? You know? So that Sunday, went to church, and I wasn't thinking anything about this. And I went down to the nursery to drop off one of my kids, and there was somebody who does not go to our church. Hadn't seen me in a very long time, came up to me and said, Karen, how's your health? And I was like, okay, you know. And so I knew I needed to take it up with the doctor. And sure enough, she did an exam. I did not tell her where the lump was. She closed her eyes, did the exam, and in the exact spot of the dream and where I had found it, she found the lump. Praise the Lord. It turned out to be nothing. But God can specifically direct us. He knew that eventually I would find that lump and I would be worried out of my mind. And he brought me to the place where I would know you don't need to be worried out of your mind about this. But he took me through a lot of steps that I needed to go through. One, that yes, I do hear from him. And two, I can bring my concerns to him and he will answer me. And three, how some other people cared as I was revealing what was going on. And one of them actually showed up at the hospital as I had my mammogram and ultrasound and stayed with me through the whole thing. A person I didn't even know cared that much about me, you know. And so God is good like that, you know. But he wants to be our friend. You know, he wants us to know his voice. He wants us to know that we can come to him with anything. And he loves us. But he wants us to know his voice just like we would know our earthly friends. And to show that, let's turn to John 15, starting in verse 14. John 15. And in verse 14, it says, you are my friend if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. So, Jesus calls us friends. And so, that's another benefit of being in his word. He calls us friends. Verse 14 says, You are called my friends if you do what I command. How do we find out what he commands if we're not in his word? So we need to be in his word. So we know how to behave in this life. And if we behave the way he wants us to, he calls us friends. That's an incredible benefit of being in his word, being a woman of his word. Guess what? I'm a friend of Jesus. He calls me friend. Verse 16. So another benefit of being in his word is that you would go and bear fruit. And not only are you going to bear fruit, your fruit is going to remain. Your fruit's going to be worthwhile. The things you do in this life, whether it's tending little children, working in a school, ministering to a sick husband, you know, taking care of children that, you know, were just brought into your life in a special way. You're going to bear fruit in these circumstances. But you want to be guided by his word in all of these. You want to be led. You want your friend saying to you, try this if this isn't working. You know, do this and it's going to benefit you. So we need to be in his word. Again, how did I learn my friend's voice? You know, the only way that I know her voice on the phone is because I talk to her on the phone. You know, the only way that I've learned her handwriting is because I read her letters when she writes to me. Again, it's spending time, you know, with that person. We're going to have this benefit of being fruitful and have that fruit remaining and being worthwhile fruit because we're in his word, because we're spending time with him. So I said, okay, Lord, women of the word, now what? And he impressed on me, of course, as we've been saying, it's titled Women of the Word, that it needed to be based solely on his word. And that he wants us as ladies to know how much he loves us. And there's so many benefits that there is in being in the word and knowing absolutely without a doubt what his word says. And one of my favorite scriptures, and he brought this to mind again, is 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 3. Because it tells me specifically, this is what you will get out of my word when you spend time in it. I know, Don, I've shared this verse with you, or these verses starting, but I'm going to start a little before. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14, it says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Do you want to know the benefits of God's word? It's right here in these four verses. First of all, verse 14. "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." You're going to learn from being in God's word. And guess what? You can be sure that they are truth. And that what God says, he is going to do. And so you can be, you know, do you ever question, oh, Lord, is this for real? God's word says it. It's true. He said it. There's a song. He said it. I believe it, you know. And so we can do that. I really need a tissue. I don't have one. But a benefit of being in his word, the more and more you read his word and the more and more you see his promises come to pass and more the Lord speaks something to your life and you act on it or you do it or you believe it, the more and more you're assured that what his word says is true. Thank you so much. So the more time you spend with him, the more I can trust my friend in Pennsylvania with anything that I tell her, whether it's good, bad, ugly. I know that I'm not going to lose her as a friend. And I believe she feels the same way about me. I can go to God and I can tell him anything, good, bad, or ugly. And because his word says he loves me and his love is unconditional, I can take that to the bank and believe that I'm not going to lose him because of something that's going on or something that I tell him. I can be assured of it. So benefit number 5 is we can be assured that God's word is truth and what he says is going to come to pass. Verse 15. Another benefit of being in God's word is that you will become wise for salvation. And I know it says that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures well. I don't care whether you've been saved for a day or you've been saved for 30 years. As soon as you become saved, you start learning the Holy Scriptures. And probably when you first got saved, if you're like most of us, you just gobbled up the Word. And the more you've been saved and the more you get saved, probably the less and less you're in His Word. I don't know why that is. We should probably more and more want to be in His Word. But whether I think of Mark's mom, who's only been saved since Christmas, that's because she's in her childhood, and hopefully we're maturing. But no matter where you are in your walk, you're learning the Holy Scriptures. And so they make you wise. Originally, it's to bring you to the point where you give your heart to Him. But then it brings you along. And Scripture does say you're supposed to work out your salvation. Even though we're saved, doesn't mean we can work for anything else. But that we want to grow. We want to mature. We don't want to stay as babes in Christ. Meaning milk. We want meat. We want to go deep and have deep understanding of His Word. So Scripture is going to make us wise to be able to work out our salvation. Verse 16, benefit number 7 of being in His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God spoke His Word to man. Man wrote it down, but it is God's Word given, and we can be assured of this, that this is God's love letter to us, to show us these are mistakes people made, these are good things people have done, this is what I want to do for you, this is what I have done for you. Grow in this, walk in this, you're going to be blessed. So a very similar to the assurity of Scripture, but we can believe that God gave us this word and that it's true. And then, in verse 16, it gives us tangible benefits. Okay, Lord, you say your word is profitable. That means it benefits us. It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is teaching, learning, and precepts. So he's going to give us truths about foundational stuff in his word. This is what Christ has done for you. This is what it means for you. This is, what's going to happen in the future. It's all in here. And his word is beneficial for that. We can learn from it. We can be taught by his word about the past, the present, the future. It says that his word is profitable for reproof. Lord, I don't know how to talk to this Jehovah's Witness who comes to my door. These Mormons who come and, what do I do? His word is profitable for reproof. His word is profitable for evidence that he is who he says he is. And this is the past. This is the present. This is what's going to happen in the future. Do you have a question about creation? Do you have a question about rapture? Do you have a question about what heaven's going to be like? God's word is beneficial for reproof. It can give you evidence. It can give you proof that you need to answer those questions. Then it says that it is beneficial or profitable for correction. Is there an area in your life you're struggling with? Is there a sin in your life that maybe you don't even know. But guess what? As we read earlier in John chapter 1, he's going to put his finger on it eventually, and he's going to bring it to life. If he brought it all, or into light, if he brought it all into light at once, we'd probably die in our tracks, you know? So, but he's gentle and he's faithful, and he's going to put his finger on stuff, and he's going to correct with it. That chastening that we need. And what does that chastening do? It restores us. It restores our relationship with him, with the Father. And so it brings that correction. It brings us back into that upright state that we need to be in. And it improves our character. We want to be like him. And it also says at the end of that verse that it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Lord, I don't know how to walk this walk that you want. It's not in me to do it. Well, guess what? My word instructs you. And this word instructing is chastening. Sometimes we need to be set on a straight path because we're walking to the right or to the left. It's also for nurturing. Think about your children. You instruct them. You nurture them. You bring them up in the way they should go. Well, that's what God's word does for us. We're his children. He's going to nurture us. He's going to bring us up in the way we should go. And just like our children, when we're old, we're not going to depart from it. In our maturity, we're going to want to walk so tightly with him because he's our best friend that we're not going to go this way or that. But if we are, his word is faithful to say, get back on this path because this path is going to lead to righteousness. That path isn't going to do it for you. Walk this way. And so his word is good for beneficial for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. And finally, one of the greatest benefits, I believe, of being in God's word, being women of the word, is verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. He's going to make it possible for us to walk this walk. If you feel you're lacking in an area, I know I don't feel like the best mother in the world. You know, I have not won any Mother of the Year awards. I lack. But God completes me to do that task. He doesn't give us anything we can't handle. And what he begins in our life, he's going to finish. But he, through his word, he completes us to do every good work. Anything that he's asking us to do, I don't feel equipped to do this. But he does it. He completes it. He equips, it says, that you would be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. In myself, in my flesh, I am not complete. In myself, in my flesh, I am not equipped to do one single thing that God asked me to do. But because of him and his word and his Holy Spirit, I'm equipped. I lack nothing in him because he has given us every single benefit that he has from the Father. Every single rich thing, every single blessing that he gets from the Father, he gives to us. We are complete, and we're not just equipped. Look at this word. We're thoroughly equipped, abundantly beyond anything we could ask or imagine, to do not just some good work, every good work that he wants us to do. Think God's asking you the impossible? He is. Because in your flesh, you can't. But in him, you can. So, that is what I believe God's vision is for the women of this church. That we would be thoroughly equipped to do the work that he's asking us to do. Whether it's being just merely a child of his, loving him, walking in his ways, whether it's being a wife, whether it's being a mother, whether it's being a friend, whatever, teacher, whatever he's asking you to do, he equips you to do it. And that is why we need to be in His Word. Because if we're not in His Word, we're going to flounder like a fish out of water. But if we're in His Word, we have everything that we need. Every answer, every truth, every guidance, anything we could ask for. Because Jesus lacks nothing from the Father, and He gives it all to us. So my encouragement is, be in His Word. Now again, we're going to meet every third Saturday of the month, same time, 9 o'clock. Sorry. But I believe it's worth it. So, I just know that I love the Lord, but I want to love Him more. I know that I love His Word, but I'm not in it as much as I should be. I want to be in it more. I want to fall more deeply, more madly in love with Him. And I want to know Him more. And I pray that that's your prayer as well.